being claimed on the inside by Skywood. Skywood took the lead. Here is Style d'Argent. He won't lay down. Sublimus is now third. The leader is Skywood. He's getting the upper hand, and Skywood proves too good. Skywood has won it.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of The Trainer's Hut. I'm Todd Blum, your host here in the Sports Lodge Studios. This show is, of course, brought to you by ToddBlumBloodstock.com. And this week in The Trainer's Hut, we are joined by a very, very special guest. It is none other than Arrowfield stud chairman John Massara. Very privileged to have John a part of the show, and really, really look forward to speaking to him in a moment, as he's always been an idol of mine, John Massara, the way he set up Arrowfield stud and the influence he's had on the breeding industry. It's definitely a direction that I've always aspired to take, and if I could end up half the breed of John Massara is, I'd be doing all right. So very excited to have him on the show. We're going to have a chat about Skywood, who regular listeners of the show will know we really, really like Skywood here in the Trainer's Hut. He's right at the pointy end of our Melbourne Cup conversations. We know that he ran last Sunday or Monday morning, 1 a.m. our time, and we spoke about it on the race day review. We've also had a bit of a chat about him on our Melbourne Cup Part 3 episode, which was a couple of weeks ago. So if you haven't caught up with that, jump back through the catalogue and have a listen. We're going to have a chat about this young French stayer that's headed to Australia. Trent Busson and Natalie Young are going to take over. And we will talk about the stallion roster too. A very, very exciting time. The Arrowfield stallion roster, we know Redoute's Choice and Not a Single Doubt. These Leviathans are Not a Single Doubt. Gee, you only got to think of Farnan and these horses that are still doing it at the moment. Doubtland as well. So he's still got plenty of bullets in the chamber as well. But these stallions, they're not on the roster anymore. Redoute's Choice unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago, and we know what a titan of the breeding world he was. Not a Single Doubt retired. Snitzel's still there flying the flag. Done Deal, he's going from strength to strength. But there's a host of young stallions that I'm very, very excited about. The Autumn Sun. Can't wait to chat to John about the Autumn Sun, because he is the heir apparent to the Redoute's Choice throne. There's no two ways about that. He's an excellent staying prospect, and his first foals have been hitting the ground this season. So we'll have a bit of a chat about that. And of course, there's 2-year-olds to come from Shalar. One stand I just want to have a chat about too. Real Impact, he's really caught my eye. So sure to have a chat about that a little later on. First of all, though, we're going to head to John Massara and just have a chat about being the majority owner of a Melbourne Cup chance in Skywood. And joining me on the line is the chairman of the Arrowfield Group, John Massara. John, thank you very much for taking the time to come in the Trainer's Hut. It's a privilege to have you on the show.
It's a pleasure.
Now, you've bred and raced winners of majority of the big races here in Australia for 30-something years, and you wake up one morning, John, and say, I want to win the Melbourne Cup. Tell us a little bit about how this newfound ambition came about.
Well, you know, every Australian wants to win the Melbourne Cup. It's an iconic race. It's a great race. It's a history-making race. And I've got a growing family here of children and grandchildren. And, well, you know, I thought to myself, well, the one thing I'd like to do in racing is to see if I can win that Melbourne Cup. And this was about a few years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, and I contacted a friend of mine in who lives in Chantilly, France, near the track there, and I said, look, I'm looking for a horse to win the Melbourne Cup. I want him at an early stage of development, and I want him with plenty of upside, I'm happy to take as much time as you like. You ring me up when you think there's something around here. It's a bloke I trust. He's a fellow that whose name is Gerard Larrieux. Chantilly Bloodstock is his company. He's a bloodstock agent. I've dealt with him for 35 years. And, in fact, he bought Kenmare for me 35 years ago when Kenmare was a champion sire of France. So we've done business together over a long period. I trust him, and he's a very good judge. He's actually bought 5 French Derby winners as yearlings. So there wouldn't be too many who would have that record. Anyway, year in, year out, he never called me with an opportunity for a Melbourne Cup horse. And then 6 or 9 months ago, he gave us a call and he said, look, I think I've got one for you, just the sort of horse you're looking for. And his name is Skywood. And I think the bloke that owns him would be probably willing to sell, you know, 60, 70, 80% of him. Probably wants to stay in for a piece, but he'll sell him. because he put him in the sale ring, failed to get what he wanted, and so he's raced him three times. But now I reckon he'd sell him. So that's how the whole thing came about.
And September, October 2019, so last year, is, like you said, around the time you purchased him, it must be starting to feel pretty real now as we approach the Melbourne Cup, John.
Well, you know, he's won a Group 3 for us, and then he ran in that pre-boy on last Sunday, and it was an incredible performance by him, carrying equal weights with, you know, Stradivarius and those kind of horses. So some of the best days in the world were there. And so he comes to the Melbourne Cup and drops 6 kilograms off that weight. But he only got beaten 2 3/4 lengths in that race. And the race has not really run to suit him. So I'm starting to feel like we might be on something here.
Well, listeners of the show will know that we stayed up on Sunday night, the previous Sunday at 1 o'clock, Sunday night, Monday morning. And like you said, the pre-foy, the Group 2, over 2,400 in France there at Longchamp. How did he come through the run?
Very, very well. I've been in touch with both the trainer and Ed Pete, who's the man that's looking after him in quarantine there at Newmarket, because he's now travelled to Newmarket and he's in the quarantine station, and he has 2 weeks there before he ships to Werribee in Australia. And they tell me he's eating everything up, his temperature's great, and he's bright and happy. So he's got through the run very well. Now, the run wouldn't have been overly taxing because they ran a very slow first section of the race. The first mile was virtually a hack, and it ended up being a sprint home. And they ran the last three at the end of a mile and a half in under 33. So you can imagine how slowly they would have been going early. But nevertheless, that didn't really suit him, but it didn't take too much out of him as well. So I think it's played in our favour. And now it's a question of getting him over here, in good shape, hoping he travels well, and doing the 2 weeks of Australian quarantine, and onto the Caulfield Cup if he gets a run. If he doesn't get a run, we'll have to find another race to run him in before the Melbourne Cup. So that's where we're at.
When he gets down to Australia and at the Werribee Quarantine Centre, Trent Busserton and Natalie Young, the training partnership based out of Cranbourne, will take over from Fabrice Chappie. How did the decision come about for them to take over the care of the horse?
Well, you know, I had about 3 or 4 trainers in my sight, and I think Trent, they're a good team, Trent and Natalie, and I've got to know him a bit better over the last couple of years. They're very ambitious, and they are Kiwis, and those Kiwis are good at training stayers. And he's had an Auckland Cup winner, and he's training well. And I thought to myself, I'd rather have somebody like that that's going to be really keen, really on the job, hasn't got too big a team, is based in Melbourne, etc. So it got down to a 2 or 3, and I decided that we should give Trent and Natalie a go. And of course, they're very happy to get the horse, and they're much happier after Sunday because they realise he's a pretty fair horse. You know, the time form jumped him up from 110 time form rating before the race to 119. So massive jump in rating after that race on Sunday. The race, apart from Stradivarius, has won 3 gold cups. You had the first and second place getter in last year's Arc in the race, and they had the English Anthony Van Dyke, had the English Derby winner in there. So it was a power-packed field. You know, I thought, well, if he finishes 4 or 5 lengths behind them, we're doing great at even weight. But he got beaten only 2 3/4 in a race that wouldn't have suited him much.
Yeah, no, he definitely stuck on there at the end, didn't he? Which was, again, another strong showing of his staying ability.
Yeah, I think the trainer, Fabrice Chappie, I've asked him a couple of times, do you think you'll stay out the 3,200? He said, no risk. I promise you he'll stay the distance. He said, he's fit, he's well. Just keep him ticking along until he gets to Australia, give him a race in Australia, and bang, into the cup, and he'll stay it. He said, I promise you he'll stay the distance.
Is one thing you're going to miss about having him with Fabrice is just the updates in French, John. I know you speak French, and I'm not sure Trent or Natalie would be pretty fluent in French.
No, but I understand their language. That's a lot easier. I understand Trent and Natalie's language, and they're very direct, they're very straight, and they're keeping me well informed of what's going on. He's now sort of taken over contact on the horse with the people in England as well, Trent. So he's got his hand right on it. He's very excited. He's got a real spring in his step over this horse. So it's very exciting for all of us.
We'll go back to the start, John. So you've, like you said, you've had your friend over there at Shanti Bloodstock keep an eye out for you. Now, you find a horse, a Camelot colt. He's won 3 from 3. As you said, he was unbeaten. He's under a very astute trainer. Acquiring horses is something you're very familiar with under the Arrowfield banner, but does it change much when the horse is on the other side of the world?
It does, because I usually look at all the horses that I buy. I like to inspect them myself, but I have ultimate faith in this Gerard Larrieux, this friend of mine. And I knew he'd waited a long time to point one out to me that he thought would do the job for us. And when he came up, there was no time to fly over there. There was no flights anyway because things were starting to get a bit dicky there. And I just trusted him. And I'm very lucky that he's such a good judge and that he's done a good job here. So, yes, it was unusual for us. But because I had this long relationship and I have so much respect for his horsemanship, I went with him, you know.
And was France, or that jurisdiction, was that always an aim, or was it just more of the right horse no matter where he was racing at the time?
No, it's France because Gerard is based down there and he goes to track work every day at Chantilly, and he has horses himself with the trainer. So it was a very fortuitous set of events, you know, for it to happen. So, but France is a very good place to source good stayers from. And I was just lucky to stumble through Gerard on this horse.
We know the Australian breeding industry, John, it's very speed orientated, but Arrowfield, they haven't been afraid recently to stand a stain that could potentially get a classic horse as well as offer an outcross. Horses such as Dundeal, who's just going from strength to strength, Animal Kingdom, and Castelvecchio will stand his first season this year. How important were those factors when you set out to find your Cups horse?
Well, look, the thing about the Cups horse, I had no intention to stand him at stud afterwards. I put that out of my mind. I said, I've got to make my mind here. I've got to find a horse that can win the Cup and not worry about whether he'll stand at stud or he won't stand at stud. And so the standing at stud concept is out the window here. I'll consider that after he finishes racing, and if that's the place, Australia is the best place to stand him, I would, but if somewhere else is, I would there too. I might go to New Zealand with him, etc. So I didn't worry too much about that aspect. But in terms of the horses we stand at home, no, I do want to offer more versatility and more variety to breeders, to breed mares, to win some of those mile-plus races, because at the end of the day, the good part of the, you know, the prize money is for those races. I know we don't breed for those races, but a lot of the prize money is for those races, and they're great races to win. And so we've got the Castelvecchios and the Dundeals, etc. And those horses are horses that weren't only able to win up to a mile and a quarter, a mile and a half, but they're also horses that were able to sprint. And a lot of them showed enormous speed at the early part of their life, in particular. Castelvecchio won his first two starts over 1,200. And so he had plenty of speed, and the same applies to Dundeal. Dundeal's trainer said to me once that he could train him to win the Newmarket if he just kept him fresh enough. That's the sort of turn of foot the horse had. So I do look for those horses that can stay, but I want to know that they're also have a turn of foot and can win over a short distance if kept fresh.
Well, I've often heard you say that when you and Arrowfield are looking at standing a stallion, there are a couple of boxes that need to be ticked. Now, I haven't heard you explain what those boxes are. You keep them pretty close to your chest, and then once those boxes are ticked, judgment comes into it. I'd be interested to know, how many boxes do you think Skywood could potentially tick, or is that something, like you said, you're just not focused on at all?
In this case, I'm not focused on that at all.
Yeah.
Having said that, he's got a lovely pedigree, I can tell you. And he's a decent sort. But I really haven't thought about that angle. We're taking this horse out to win the Melbourne Cup, and that's what we're going to concentrate on at this moment. And we're not going to worry about prancing around, running him in that race or that race, because that'll be better for his breeding career. We're going to try and win the Melbourne Cup. That's what we're going to try and do, either this year or next year.
Speaking of the Australian roster. It's one thing that we've spoken a lot about in the Trainer's Hut here on this show with a couple of various guests, including James Price at Woodside Park there. Written Tycoon. So this is testament to the genius of John Massara and Arrowfield and the innovative thinking. When did you start thinking that Written Tycoon could be a possibility and start to approach Woodside?
Middle of the year, we looked at our broodmare band, about 300-something mares, and we looked at our stallions and we said, you know what? We need another proven outcross that can fit in with some of those pedigrees we've got and some of those times that we've got. And we thought about whatever was available in Australia and New Zealand, and we zeroed in on a horse that is a proven horse and can throw a top-class Group 1 sprinter in particular, but started off with limited opportunities. So we felt we could bring something to the party. Although in the last year or two, he's been, you know, he's had opportunities brought to him by Woodside. He started off in life with limited opportunities, and he's on the gallop now. He's starting to get very excellent results. But we thought, is there something we can bring to the party here? And the answer was, we will put some of our very best mares, and we think we can dip into the very best mares in the Hunter Valley for him, because we're hungry for an outcross in the Hunter Valley as well, a proven outcross. And so I went to them and said, look, I reckon I could fill this horse's book with the best mares he's ever had. He's coming to a point of time where his age is going to start, you know, taking its toll. This is the moment, if you're ever going to do it, to give him this unbelievable chance to get an incredible book of mares. And they were far-sighted enough and had enough imagination and enough foresight to say, okay, let's do it. Now, hopefully, the deal we've done will be as good for them as it'll be for us. As far as we're concerned, we're just going to send mares to him. We're not looking to get a financial result. The financial result for us will be through the breeding of our mares to the horse rather than through getting any, you know, any sort of financial payout. We're not looking for that. So it was a deal where existing shareholders did well, the Victorian stud did well, but we got access for our own mares and for those of others in the Hunter Valley. That's as simple as that.
And he's got a very, very big book of mares and some of the most envious mares in the stud book that are going to be heading to him this year.
Yeah, including Black Caviar.
Outstanding.
I think they're going to be very happy with the outcome. Very happy.
It's a very exciting time. So we're speaking about Skywood and heading into the Melbourne Cup and how good of a shape he's looking in. But the Arrowfield roster up there at Scone, John, so Redoute's Choice, the just champion, the legend. There's not enough superlatives to say about Redoute's Choice, who hasn't been there the last couple of years, unfortunately. His son, Not a Single Doubt, has been recently retired. So there's a bit of a hole there, but Snitzel's a four-time champion sire. He's absolutely flying still, and I've heard you say many times you think he's only going to get better with the recent books he's served.
Well, he's got a lot of work in progress. Like the last two or three years of books, that is the yearlings of this year and the foals of this year and even the two-year-olds of this year, are from great mares and in good numbers. I'm expecting him to do what he's done in the past few years, and that continue to throw a lot of stakes winners. And every now and again, something pretty special like a Red Zell, you know, or a slipper winner and that sort of thing. So he's going to be in the hunt for the Sire Championship again this year. You can never be certain about these things because other stadiums are getting good mares as well. But if he's done it 4 years in a row, there's nothing to say he can't extend that for another year. So I'm pretty hopeful about him.
And the heir apparent to Redoute's Choice, in my view, the Autumn Sun, how are his first foals looking as we get into the season?
Your view and my view are very much the same. I think he is an absolute... It's a horse that ticks every single box. There was only one little box that had to be ticked to give us total comfort, and that is, would he throw good-looking foals, athletic foals? And the answer to that is categorically yes. We've seen about, I don't know, I suppose a dozen of them, and they're really good sorts, and they've got a lot of class, like he has. And I think he's basically a lay-down mazair for us. I mean, you can never say that with genetics, but I'm as confident as a bloke could be, having been at it for 40 years, I'm as confident as a bloke could be that this could be the heir apparent for the big boy.
He certainly is probably the most exciting staying at stud at the moment, I believe. And Pariah, who's also a Redoute's Choice, he's first yearlings aren't far away either, and they're shaping as really nice types as well.
Yeah, well, I keep getting calls and emails from breeders around the place that tell us that they love his foals. I got one today from South Australia from a breeder up there saying, we've just gone through all our foals, and I'm pleased to tell you that the pariah is as good a colt as we've got. I'm getting these sort of reports continuously. So even though he's a lower profile horse, he's a beautifully bred horse, beautifully conformed horse. He was a very fast sprinter. And it wouldn't surprise me if he does not a single bout on us and come from sort of meagre beginnings, grows into something pretty pretty good. And his foals are testimony of that potential because they're athletic, they've got plenty of bone, they're very good looking, and everybody loves them. So, and he's got as big a book this year as he's had in the last couple of years. So that's unusual. That's unusual at this time to get a continued large book. It's coming basically because of the quality of the foals. So that tells you something.
And this time of year is very exciting for the two-year-old trials as well, as we have this conversation next Monday. I believe the first two-year-old trials are, and Shalar's already had a couple that have stepped out and a few more promising ones. He certainly looks like a sire that's ready to go on with it.
Yeah, Shalar's had 11 winners overseas, two stakes-placed horses. He's got a very good one. Simon Crisford's got a very good one that he thinks could be a Group 1 horse in England. So we'll see. So he's sort of, the ball's rolling there. Now we wait for the Australian ones to come out. There's a couple coming out on Monday. So, but we've got reports from a lot of the trainers who seem to be very happy with him. So I'd be surprised if he doesn't give us some rewards here, gives breeders rewards. I'd be very surprised.
And one stallion that's also caught my eye, John, is Real Impact, who the Japanese stands, unfortunately, with the COVID-19 and what's going on in the world at the moment, won't be coming out this year, but they're really starting to power on, aren't they?
I agree. Again, a very low-key start in life. They came a little bit in every shape and size, so people sort of overlooked them a little bit. In fact, a few of them we took home, and Paul's training them at home, and they're coming out and running really well. And we've got one that we like a lot called Temple One, who'll be racing Saturday week. Keep an eye on him. I think he's a horse that could go beyond just winning a Saturday race, but he's by the same breed. So they're winning around the place and they're all running well. So it augurs well for him.
And Maurice and Mickey Isle have also started on fire in Japan as well.
Yeah, they're going really well in Japan. Really, really well. Maurice is the leading first crop sire over there. Mickey Isle's the third leading first crop sire over there. Every week they come up with winners, or sometimes multiple winners. And feedback here is good on those as well. So we've got a lot to look forward to. A number of these are outcrosses, and it's critical for us to keep developing some of these outcrosses because, as you know, about 50% of racehorses have Daniel in the first three removes. That's a huge proportion of horses, and it means they're fillies and everything else will go to stud. So there's a massive, congestion of Daniel blood, and you need to find something that'll work with it that's an outcross and a proven outcross.
Just before I let you go, John, you've been very generous with your time here this afternoon, but with everything that's been going on globally and specifically here in Australia and Sydney, you spent a bit more time up at the farm on a bit more permanent basis recently?
Yeah, I've since COVID, I've spent sort of three quarters of the time up at the farm, and it's been, very rewarding because you get closer to the activities and you get to chat with the staff the place looks beautiful with all the rain that we've had, and things are running pretty smoothly. So it's been very pleasant. And, of course, you don't have the Sydney traffic. My house at the farm is 100 yards from the office. I've just got to walk across. And when I came back to Sydney this afternoon, I thought to myself, why the hell am I down here? I should be back at the farm already. So, it's been very pleasant up there. And a lot of good things going on at Arrowfield. And there's a very, very good team. I mean, the strength of Arrowfield is the team. Tremendous team of people there, and we look forward to continuing good results.
Excellent stuff, John. Thank you very much for taking the time to join me in the Trainer's Hut, and wishing you all the best with Skywood, and we'll certainly be following his journey closely here in the Trainer's Hut.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
John Massara there joining me in the Trainer's Heart, and what a privilege it was to have John on the show. As we said off the top, one of the most influential people in the breeding industry, but he's got himself a real chance in the Melbourne Cup, and as he said, the newfound ambition to win the Cup. He's waited patiently. Well, I think he's waited for a good thing, because Skywood, as you said, he's in quarantine, and he will be making his way down for the Melbourne Cup, and as he said, the patience he's taken to find this horse, and still, it's getting very real, but he says, you know, if it's not this year, it's next year. So a very, very patient man is John Massara. But as we said, also, the exciting time of the Arrowfield roster, there's so much happening and so much waiting in the wings. You know, there's horses that are having their first two-year-old. Shalar, Real Impacts are starting to kick on too. If you didn't write Temple One down, make sure you write that down. We love the Black Book here in the Trainer's Hut, and Temple One is definitely going to be one to follow, and we'll keep an eye on it as well. It's Paul Massara. He mentioned trains a horse, and quick thank you to Paul Massara also, who assisted in setting this episode up. So we're very grateful to Paul Massara for that opportunity. But that's it for this week's edition of the Trainer's Hut. Thank you for joining me. And as always, you can find the show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from. Alternatively, you can find the show at toddblumbloodstock.com as well. And tune in there. All the episodes are available there. If you'd like to, leave a review. Let me know what you think of the show. Always happy to hear from the people out there. Maybe there's someone you think I should be talking to, something I should be talking about. Maybe there's just some general feedback. Always happy to hear it. If you want to get in touch, at TB Bloodstock is the handle on Twitter. You can find Toblon Bloodstock on Facebook as well. And if you're on Instagram, search Sport Thought, so you'll be able to find that on Instagram. That's it for this week's edition. Thank you very much for tuning in. I'll see you next time in the Trainer's Hut. Todd Blum, bye for now.